Last week we started talking about praise brings victory. As a matter of fact, we started from the Thursday. And then last week, Sunday, we looked in the Old Testament at two different stories of the exemplification of power being manifest when God's people just decided to do the right thing. And that is to praise Him no matter what the circumstance, no matter how impossible it looked. We saw a number of things last week. We saw that the presence of God came down, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, to the point where the priests could no longer do their service. And the glory of God, the Bible says, filled the temple. We looked at that last week. We also looked at King Jehoshaphat and Judah was surrounded by three different armies, Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir. And as they gathered around to destroy God's people, we saw how they positioned themselves and they decided that they were going to praise God. They fasted, they prayed, they praised. And then God said to them, no, you position yourself. You still go, you position yourself, but this battle is mine. And we saw last week how God caused a spirit of confusion to be placed in the opposing armies, and we saw the result of that, confusion came down and they turned on each other and began to destroy each other. And so we lifted a number of things and we said a number of things. On the Thursday, I believe we said that praise requires true acknowledgement. Okay? So if we're going to Without acknowledgement, praise is valueless. And so as we're praising God, we've got to acknowledge Him. Are you with me today?
Yeah.
We've got to acknowledge Him. And that means our heart's position has to be right. That means our mindsets have to be right as well. Okay? The Bible says that in the book of Nehemiah, the people had a mind to work. And we see that they also had a mind to praise God. And that's one other area where we saw victory in God's word coming to His people, because they've positioned themselves to do what's right. And God wants us to position ourselves to do what's right, folks. And the principle remains. The circumstances might be different, but the principle remains. So if you have your Bibles with me, please go to Acts chapter 16. I told you last week we're going to go to the New Testament this week. And we're going to look at one story, one very well-known story. But we're going to lift up some things from there, and I'm guaranteeing that I'm going to show you some things. Is it this week or next week? I'm going to show you some things anyway. If it's not this week, I'm going to show you some things next week, where on a different subject, where that perhaps you've not seen before. And this is why I love to study, because no matter how long I've been in the church, I'm still learning new things. And that's the way the Spirit of God works. All right? Acts chapter 16, I'm going to read from verse 16, okay, to verse 32. So let me read. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. Now when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought to them the magistrates. They brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or to observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, come on, everybody say midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing that the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And they took them the same hour of that night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when they had brought them into his house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you once again for your word. And Father, as I break your word before your people, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will help us to digest everything that you are saying to us today. We thank you for the examples that were set, Lord God, before us, where we can now, Lord God, speak together and reflect, Lord God, on this story. And Father, the principles that we can grasp from it, the lessons that we can learn and implement into our own hearts and lives. Help us, Lord God, not just to be listeners and to hear and say, "Oh, that was good," but Lord God, rather to say, "Father, thank you for what you are speaking into my heart." And Lord God, even as these men did certain things, Lord, that we're going to talk about, Father, help us, Lord, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, to always be a people of prayer and a people of praise. We give you thanks once again for good fruit now, Lord, that we will see in our lives as a result of our obedience, Lord God, to honor you and obey you. We give you thanks once again in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Amen. Well, well-known story. Preached on this before. And I'll bring up some points from this story. And as I go through this story, I'm going to flash on the screen. As a matter of fact, I have not got a lot of screens today. Not like what I usually have. But the screens I'm going to show you, beginning from the next one, is going to have points on it, okay? Points to note. And I'm going to elevate some things and say some things from these points, because when you look at this story, there's a lot there. And sometimes there may be more than we see there. And so I'm going to highlight a few things as we go through this story. The first thing I want to note, okay, from this story is that things happened as they were going to prayer. Please note that from the story. As they were going to prayer, things happened. And the things that were happening were not positive. And the same could be for us today. The moment you position yourself to pray, by yourself, the hour that you set to be with the Lord, or with God's people, something comes up to get in the way. And it's just something that I've noticed. But I also noticed the place of prayer, because they were on the way to prayer, but they weren't on the way to the temple. And verse 13 tells us where they met. And as a matter of fact, let me read verse 13, because it says something else. "And on the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made." Did you hear that? "And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there." So they customarily went to the riverside to pray. Thank God that we don't have to gather in a church building or in a temple as they did back then to pray. That you can pray anywhere. Isn't that good news? That's a liberty that we have. And we see the disciples here doing this. Okay? That on the Sabbath day, they were on their way to the riverside to pray, because it was their custom. Alright? So they went on the way to Riverside. And then the story goes on to say they met a girl who had a spirit of divination. I've put on the screen there a little bit about divination and a little bit about seer, actually. I've got some notes on that as well. The spirit of divination is well, this girl was acting like a seer. What is a seer? Let me tell you what a seer is. A seer is a specific type of prophet who receives divine revelation primarily through spiritual insight such as dreams or visions. So in the Old Testament especially, you will hear or mention or see the word seer, and it's referring to a prophet. And that's what they were called. They were, I'm not going to go into this, but there's two types of seers, okay? One who sees literally physical things, and another one who sees symbolic things, maybe through dreams or visions, okay? So there are two different types of seers that the Bible mentions in the Old Testament. But anyway, this girl was pretending to, well, she had a spirit in her that was acting like a seer, but she was not. And we see also that her masters were making money from this. So here's a little girl, maybe in chains, you know, and manifesting in such a way that, you know, people would actually give money to see manifestations. And that's what was going on here. Now, this spirit that was inside the girl, okay, saw Paul and Silas. And so played up. And when we read the story, we just read the story, but this, the Bible says, she did for many days. They followed the apostles for many days, interfering with them, trying to sort of, I don't know, manifest themselves, if you like, amongst them, because they knew who they, you know, let me tell you something, the devil knows who you are. Hello, church. The devil knows who you are, but don't be scared of that. There's nothing to be scared of. If he knows who you are, actually, that's good news. Because he should know that he can't fool around God's people. Those who are walking in the Spirit. Anybody walking in the Spirit today? Let me see your hands. Okay? Because the devil cannot fool around with you or muck around with you so much. Now, this went on for days. And we don't know why. The Bible doesn't tell us why Paul allowed it. Maybe, you know, sometimes certain things happen, even with us today in life. And then we get to a certain point, you say, you know what? Enough is enough. Anybody been there? You say enough is enough, you put your foot down, you make a change, you take a stand, you do something, whether it's work, home, wherever it is. Well, that's what happened with Paul. He said enough is enough, man. This can't be happening and we're just allowing it to happen. So, he took authority. And then notice in verse 18 that Paul spoke to the spirit and not the girl. He spoke to the spirit and not the girl. And then the Bible says that the spirit came out that very hour. This spirit that was operating or manifesting itself through this girl that they used to bring fortune telling, you know, it was gone from the girl. And so when they saw now that, hey, the way for me to make money is gone because this spirit has been cast out of this girl, and we've never seen this before. This is not according to our custom. This is not what should happen. Then the Bible says that the masters grew angry, right? Because there's now no prophets. And they dragged them to the magistrates. When they went to the magistrates, we see a number of things happening there. That the people also sided with the magistrates. And the Bible says that they tore off their clothes and they commanded them to be beaten with rods. Up until this point, Paul and Silas had done nothing except what was right to do. Yet, the accuser of the brethren used these spirits and these people to rise up against them, to come against them, and to try to denigrate them, really. But God was with them. Isn't that good news? That God is with you, church. No matter what you are going through, no matter what it is that you are facing, hey, God is with you. Amen. And we've got to know it, we've got to remember it, and we've got to behave like it. Yeah. I like the attitude of these men, and we're going to look at that in a few moments, because they had a lot going on. But despite what was going on, they didn't walk around with a long face. They didn't walk around puffed up. They didn't get vexed, and they didn't get sad. They weren't depressed, they didn't go into depression. They didn't isolate themselves. What they did was they continued to do what was right. And we're going to see that now. Because the Bible says that they threw them into the innermost prison. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit more, not right now. He threw them into prison, the innermost prison, and their feet were in stocks. But I'm going to take a pause here. right here at midnight. The Bible says here at midnight they were doing what? They were praying and they were? Come on, say it with me. They were praying and singing. Say it again out loud. They were praying and singing. That's what they were doing. When were they doing this? At midnight. At the nighttime hour. When everybody else is sleeping, including the jailer, as you see in the story. You know, the chief jailer. When everybody's sleeping, or most people are sleeping, Paul and Silas decided, no, this is when I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to pray. We're going to pray. But we're also going to praise God. I want to talk about the midnight for a little bit. The psalmist said in Psalm 16 and verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me when? In the night seasons. In the night seasons. We spoke about this a couple weeks ago. And I explained to you what the night season, I think it was on a Thursday. I spoke to you about what night seasons means or that what that word means. That word is the word leil in the Greek. In the Old Testament, sorry, in the Hebrew. And it means a twist away from light. Okay? In other words, night. That's the literal use of it. But it also is used in the Bible figuratively to mean adversity, gloom, or despair that grips a human heart because of a perceived lack of divine guidance. So it's used literally in the Bible, and it's also used figuratively in the Bible. And as we go through our night seasons, what am I talking about? As we go through adversity, as we go through gloom, as we go through despair, and when we look in the world around us, that's what we see and we sense. We see, sense, the people are desperate and they're looking for something more than what is. And that's because they need something more than what is. And as we look around us in the world, we see gloom and we see despair. But folks, because the gloom, adversity, and despair exist, doesn't mean that we have to take on that spirit. We can still have a spirit of praise. Can I get a loud amen? Amen? We can still bless the Lord. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's a song we used to sing. In the good times, praise his name. In the bad times, do the same. And we got to, it's all a matter of making up our minds, really. It's a matter of mind conditions, a matter of willpower. It's a matter of, where are you? How? What's it, what frequency are you on? You know, that no matter what the difficulty, you still can praise God. And our withholding the praise could be the reason that our breakthrough is delayed. All right. So here we see these guys here, they decided that we're not going to hold back any praise. We're not going to stop praying. They may chain our hands and they may chain our feet. So yes, our hands are limited in what we can do. And our feet are limited in where we can go. And these walls around us and where they've placed us is not favorable. But I'm going to praise God anyway. They didn't chain my mouth. They didn't chain my tongue. They didn't cut it out. That's a mistake they made. And so they used their mouths to what? Create their victory. Are you hearing me, church? We've got to use our mouths to create our victory. We call forth those things that be not as though they already exist. Okay? Our faith is released when we speak God's word and then we act on what we speak. And that's where we've got to be. We've got to be determined to do that. So let's move on a little bit. Still talking about night though. Can God give us a song in our night seasons? Amen. Of course he can. Job 35 and verse 10. But no one says, where is God my maker? Who gives songs in the night? While you are going through your night seasons, God can give you a song in your heart. And when you begin to sing that song, you know what happens? You begin to change that atmosphere. And God begins, his presence begins to intensify. And he shows up at a time when you really need him. And strengthens you and helps you and gives you victory. Because that's what God gives his people. Victory in Jesus' name. Psalm 42 and verse 8. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me. When shall His song be with me? In the night. Jacob wrestled with God at night. There are different things that happen at night. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Paul received a vision about the man from Macedonia calling for help at night. Peter was delivered from prison at night. It wasn't just Paul and Silas in prison. Peter was in prison as well, Acts chapter 12. And we know the story. We read it there. The church was there praying. And while the church was praying, God was moving. And that's what happens, folks. God moves when people pray. God moves when His church praises. You know what I want to see in this church? I don't care about numbers. You know what I want to see? I want to see our praise intensified. I want to see us growing in praise. Why do I want to see that? Because that will guarantee the presence of God intensifying in this place. When it comes from a clean and a true and a pure heart, it is received by God, and in God inhabits the praises of His people. The Bible describes it as sweet-smelling savor. And He smells our praise. He receives it and He says, where's that scent coming from? I've got to go there. And His presence comes down and He just be amongst us. Wouldn't it be something if what happened in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 happens in our church? Don't care about other churches. In our church in these coming months. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? Where we're praising God so much that, guess what? The Spirit and the presence of God just comes down and takes over completely so that we can't do anything. We can't begin to minister. Church, is that what you want? I don't know about you, but that's what I want. That's what I want to see. And so we've got to continue to practice what we're hearing. And we've got to continue to do what God wants us to do. Let me give you some more facts about night. God speaks at night, okay? Why does He do that? Four reasons. Number one, to fellowship with you. Because sometimes, if I'm honest, we're so busy in the daytime that we hardly have to or make the time to listen to what God is saying. Remember, part of your devotion, by the way, should not just be you talking to God. You spend time praying to God, but it should be time listening to what He has to say to you as well. But sometimes busyness, and God knows this, and that's why He speaks to us, or one of the reasons why He speaks at night. Number one, to fellowship with you. Number two, to impart divine revelation. He wants to show you something. Number three, to instruct you to do something. He wants to get something across for you to do. And there's always a blessing at the end of obedience. And number four, to intercede for others whom you do or you do not know. You see, it's not all about you. It's not all about you. Psalm 19 and verse 2. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals what? Night unto night reveals what? Knowledge. Night unto night reveals knowledge. So God can give you a revelation at night. He can show you something at night. He can educate you at night. And just be aware, and I think I've said this before, that if you find yourself waking up in the 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock hours, it could be the Holy Spirit waking you up because God wants to reveal something to you. Amen. He wants to show you something. So be very prayerful. Oh, I can't sleep. I just couldn't sleep. I woke up 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Those are the hours where God speaks to His people most at night. And it could be the Holy Spirit just waking you up and saying, hey, I want to spend some time with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to give you divine revelation. I want to show you something. I want to instruct you with something. Or I just want to fellowship with you. So just be aware of that. Job 33, verses 14 and 15. At night, when people are asleep, God speaks in dreams and visions. And again, we see this in the Bible quite a lot. Now, so they prayed and they praised. And what happened as a result of that? Let's talk about that a little bit. The prisoners were listening. That's number one. And I'm pausing there a little bit. The prisoners were listening. So Paul and Silas decided that, hey, I don't care if you're sleeping. I don't care what's going on. God's going to get my praise. I'm going to pray to my God because I'm in a situation here where I know my God is able to deliver. Folks, what situation are you in right now? Does it look impossible? Well, I'm telling you right now, God is able to deliver. Amen. He's able to deliver. And Paul and Silas recognized that, and they said, you know what? No. We're gonna praise God. But others were listening. I hope you realize by now that others are watching. Others are listening. Others are reading you. The Bible says we are living epistles known and read of all men. So we're being watched, not just by the Holy Spirit, but we're being watched by others around us. And the prisoners were there listening to Paul and Silas. They couldn't praise God. They couldn't pray because they didn't know God. But they were listening to these two men who did. And as a result of them just listening to Paul and Silas praying, to Paul and Silas praising, God showed up and changed the scenes. And in verse 26, we see that there was an earthquake. And as a result of that earthquake, the Bible says, foundations were shaken, doors were opened, and chains loosed. I'm going to say that again because it's a powerful statement. I preached on this before. You know, as the result of the prayer and praise that was going up, an earthquake happened, folks. And that earthquake caused what? Foundations to be shaken. It caused doors to be opened. And it caused chains to be loosed. Now let's look at that. Foundations. What kind of foundations? Foundations of works. Shaken. Foundations of self-sufficiency. Shaken. Foundations of doing it your way. Shaken. Foundations of traditions built up and followed through for years, accomplishing nothing. You're doing it just because it's the way we've always done it. That's tradition. And those traditions will be broken in the name of Jesus Christ so that God can move. Amen. Foundations of prayerlessness. Foundations of relying on man and not God. Foundations of religion. Foundations of disobedience. And we could go on. The list really goes on. I've only named a few on there. But you get the picture. That when we begin to pray and when we begin to really praise God, foundations will be broken. Some stuff that's in your life that does not glorify God, that's been there for some time, and it seems like it cannot be moved. I'm telling you that things will happen. Holy Spirit is nothing too difficult for Him. Foundations. And that's important. Because we have to be building on the right foundation. If we're not building on the right foundation, then everything that we're building is going to crumple. It's going to fall. And so you need to make sure that the foundations of your life are correct. And I've just named a few things here. And you know, let me pick on prayerlessness. You know, there's no such thing as a born-again, filled, Holy Spirit-filled believer who does not pray. Now, we all sometimes lapse or miss it in prayer, but we should get back on track. And we can't remain in an attitude where we're not praying. And by the way, praying with yourself is not good enough. Praying with God's people is biblical, is foundational. In this very story, we see that. They gathered at the riverside, as was their custom. It was their tradition to do that. That's what they did. They gathered together by the riverside to pray together. And we see that reflected right through the New Testament. So that foundation of prayerlessness should be non-existent in our lives, in Jesus' name. Doors. Doors were opened. And the question I've got on the screen there is, what doors are being opened to you? Who is opening those doors? Do you know that you should not go through every door that's been opened? You're going to have a spirit of discernment. Because if you don't have that, you'll be deceived into ending up somewhere where actually God doesn't want you. Now you're outside of the word, you're outside of the will of God, because you walk through a door without discerning whether or not God opened that door. How can I know if God is opening doors? That's a question. That's a good question, actually. How can I know if God is opening doors? I leave you to think about that one. How can I know if God is opening doors? Well, it will mesh with your spirit. It will mesh with your spirit. You will know. You will know if God is opening doors because it will be in line with His word. Right? It won't be interruptive pertaining to the ordinary dealing of things. When I say that, what I mean is that it doesn't cause havoc or chaos all around you and the people that are around you. You know if God is opening doors because there will be a peace deep down on the inside. And sometimes God opens doors that are unique and not really, how can I put this, not really very clear from the outset according to others, but God will open a door for you to go through, and there'll be that peace about it. There'll be witnesses around you that will confirm that. And, you know, the most important thing I think I mentioned already is the peace of God in your hearts. Well, that's a good question, and we can explore that some more, maybe in the months to come. How can I know that God is opening doors in my life? But so we see foundations shaken, doors open, and we see chains loosed. Come on, say with me, chains were loosed. And God is still in the business of loosing chains. What do chains do? I've got some things on the screen. There's a few little points. They cause limitation. Right? They limit your movement. Chains prevent a full expression of service. Chains limit our gifts from being used. Chains can't stop prayer. I mean, that list could go on. But it can't stop prayer. I put that point there. And chains cannot stop praise. Like we see in the story, and I said before, you're limited. Maybe your movement may be limited. You're limited in what you can do. You're limited where you can go. But your mouth, it can open and can praise God and can pray, and so things can happen because God uses the expression of words to carry forth His divine power. And every single one of us have that. Isn't that good news, church? Chains can't stop prayer. Chains cannot stop your praise. The only person who can really stop your praise is you. And this is why our will needs to be set. This is why we need to have our minds made up. This is why we need to have what I've been talking about for the past 2 years. We need to be focused. Because when problems happen and occur and something happens out of the blue like it does for every single one of us in life, you know, you've got to make a decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to praise God still? Am I going to pray? Or am I going to isolate myself? Now nowhere to be seen. Disappearing acts. Outside of the place where God wants me. The place where God expects me to be. Am I going to continue to do what God wants me to do? Or am I going to let what's coming to me overwhelm me? To the point where now I'm of no use to myself or to others. You see, the rubber has to meet the road. And that's what happens here. We have to be real and we have to be, completely honest with ourselves. And we have to say, you know what? No, I need to do better here. I have not been praising God the way I should. I've not been praying the way that I should. And I've got to change all of that because I realize from God's word, that's what He wants me to do. So let's talk about the innermost prison because that's very important. You notice the Bible says that they were commanded to put them in the prison, in the inner prison. And the inner prison back then wasn't just somewhere that was, far away from the entrance. It's much more than that. It was, but it was much more than that. I've got it on the screen, so let me just show it to you. All right, the innermost prison mentioned in verse 24 was the darkest part of the prison. There was no light or very little light there. So Paul and Silas were placed, in a dark place. More than that, it was the most heavily secured part of the prison. I think when you read Acts chapter 12, that's exactly what happened to Peter. And the Bible says he was placed with four quaternions of soldiers. That's the innermost part of the prison. So Peter had 16 soldiers guarding this one man in the innermost part of the prison. And Peter still got deliverance. He still had victory. One man, one woman with God is a majority. The least sanitary part of the prison was the innermost prison. What do I mean by that? There was no toilet. There was filth. There was muck. I'm painting a picture for you to see where these guys were. And they were still able to pray. They were still able to bless God. They couldn't see any of the other prisoners, but the prisoners could hear them. Because they were in the innermost part. It was designed to break people's spirit. The innermost part of the prison back then, it was designed to break their spirits. Whoever is in there, to break their spirit. But I've got on the screen here, chains can't stop praise. It couldn't stop them from praising God. It couldn't stop them from praying to God. And so it was a very unfavorable condition, but God was with them. Very unfavorable, but God was in their midst. And so, we have to ask a question: what unfavorable conditions are we in? Has that affected my praise? Has that affected my prayer life? You're going through a lot, but is what you're going through more evident in your spirit, in your life, in your words? Or is God in the midst? Is prayer a part of your remit? Like I said before, praying with God's people too. Praising with God's people. And I'm telling you, church, that we've got to rise up. These men were ordinary people like you and I. But guess what? They were determined. They loved God and they were determined. How many people love God here? Of course we do. But we've got to be more determined. Let me tell you this. We've got to be more determined. No matter what I'm going through, I'm going to praise God. Do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to praise God. Come on, tell somebody else. Tell somebody else. No matter what you're going through, your mind has got to be made up. What did the songwriter say? I made up my mind to go God's way. And God's way is a way of praise and prayer for the rest of my life. And we've got to make up our mind that no matter what, I'm going to praise God for the rest of my life. So in verse 30 and 31, it says this: and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. What am I saying here? I'm saying that these guys were taken, they were beaten, they were placed in prison, placed in the innermost part of the prison. But they decided that, you know what, even though that my feet and my hands may be in chains, may be in stocks, but I'm going to praise God. I'm going to go to wherever I am. Are praising, the songwriter said. And they were in prison, but they decided that we're going to pray and we're going to praise God. As a result of that, God moved. Do you think that earthquake was an accident? No, of course not. The earthquake was not an accident. Foundations shaken, doors open, and chains loosed. What chains are holding you today, folks? What circumstances are you going through? And I know some of us are going through some stuff right now, but I want to remind you that God is with you and is watching every single thing that you are doing. Continue to serve God. Continue to be faithful to the things of God. Continue to say the right things. If you're talking about the problem or you're talking about the solution, you're in a problem. And you've got to change your language. If you're talking about the negativity that's in the world, or maybe in your workplace, or maybe in your home, if you're talking about the negative more than you're talking about the possibility and declaring God's result, end result in the midst of the difficulty, then you're in a wrong position. You've got to be able to declare in the name of the Lord. No matter what is going on, it is well in Jesus' name. Because the Bible says in Romans 8:28 that He works all things together for good. That's if you love the Lord. He's working it for your good. So while you're going through it, don't go through with a long face. Don't go through grumbling and mumbling and complaining. Don't do that. Have a right attitude and a right heart's disposition. Because the same God who delivered Paul and Silas and caused these other men now to be saved. Look at that. Because they did the right thing, it affected others. It affected the prisoners. The prisoners heard them. They didn't even fancy that. If the prison doors were open today, a load of prisoners would just run out and go about their business. But in time, but you know, back here, I believe the presence of God was so powerful that all the prisoners still remained there because of two men that decided that they're going to do the right thing. They were innocent. They were accused, falsely accused, but they decided we're going to do the right thing. Whatever you are going through now, and I know that maybe many of us are going through stuff, you've got to determine that you're going to do the right thing. And don't make people talk you out to your blessing, because that's exactly what will happen. You get up and you do the wrong thing, and you know, it's never a blessing at the end of disobedience. Never. Be determined that no matter what, I am going to do the right thing. And you never know what will happen from there. The prisoners heard when Paul and Silas were praying and praising God. And then the leader of the prison, he got up, took them to his house at night, washed their stripes, and then asked the question, what must we do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your household, if they believe too, they will be saved. That's what you do. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what we need to do more? When our circumstances and things rise up against us, you know what we need to do? We need to declare the name of Jesus more. Declare the name of Jesus more. Just declare the name of Jesus. Just cry out Jesus. Just speak Jesus. Whatever Jesus did, we do. We got to just declare the name of Jesus. God, you have this because you've got me. And I've made up my mind, Lord God, that I'm going to serve you. So Lord, you have turned it around before for others. And Lord, you're not a respecter of persons. You are a respecter of faith. So Father, as you have done for Paul and Silas, you are able to do for me today. Thank you, Lord, for turning it around. Thank you, Lord, that this foundation that my life is built on is now shattered, now broken, and a new foundation laid. Oh, things that are there that are mucking it up, messing it up, Lord. Lord, we change that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that, oh God, not only that, but doors are open, and you will open doors, and I will discern those doors, Lord, and we will go through, because, Lord, that's the way of victory. That's the way of getting release. And thank you, Lord, that every chain is broken in my life. Things that hold me back, talents that I have, or gifts that are unused, Lord, I release them in the name of Jesus Christ to you, Lord God, and I speak it and declare it, that I will be used more and more by you, Lord God, because I've given myself to you. And then we will see things happen in our... Do you believe that the same thing that happened here can happen for you? No, you're just saying yes, man. Say it like you mean. Do you believe that the same thing that happened here, God will do the same for you? Then we got to behave like it, man. We got to behave like it. You see, when we gather here on a Sunday morning, when we gather on Tuesdays, let's come with a vibrancy. Don't come out of habit. I'm here because, you know, it's a Sunday morning. No. God doesn't honor that. There's nothing coming from our hearts to God with that attitude. But let's come this morning. The Bible says where two or three are gathered. Paul and Silas was only two. But look what happened. We're going to come determined that no matter what, I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus. No matter what, I'm going to praise God. And it's going to come from a place that's right. Look what the Bible says. I'm closing with these scriptures, well-known scriptures. I've used them so many times. We are overcomers. We are overcomers. 1 John 5 and verse 4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. Even our faith. And Romans chapter 12 verse 3 says, to every man, every woman is given a measure of faith. So you got faith. You got stuff inside you that can cause mountains to be moved. 1 John 4 verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you. Who is inside you? Who is it? Who is it talking about? Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is looking for the word of God that you've deposited in your heart. That's what he uses to give you victory, to give you strength. That's what he uses to assign whatever God wants to do through you at that moment, at that time. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is in the world? Who is it talking about? The enemy, Satan, yes. Lucifer, demons. You got power over them. Luke 10:19, you know this. You got power over them. But if we're just coming to church with a religious mode, nothing will happen. Go through the motions and then you can't wait to go home to your rice and peas and chicken. Then your motive is wrong. We've got to be hungry for the Lord. We've got to wake up in this time and age in which we're living. And we've got to say, you know what? There's a lot to be done out there. And it's time now I put aside my agenda. It's time now I make sacrifices for the kingdom. And then God looks down, sees that, and honors that. And he begins to move because he sees the sacrifice that you're making. I've had lots of things come against me in the past year. Lots of issues and things, personal, health-wise, Pastor Joy, myself, lots of challenges. And that's just health. You know? But we've determined that no matter what, we're going to praise God. No matter what, we're going to do what God called us to do. Are you with me, church? Yeah. We're going to serve God. Now, people will muck about and play church and get vexed with God and do all sorts of stuff. That's why you see people here and you don't see them here. You see them and you don't see them. You see them and you don't see them. Some of them are young and they need help, but some should know better. They should know that it should consistently be in the house of God and should be setting an example for others, but we don't see that sadly. So that's why Paul said, follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You're going to know who to follow. And you're going to do the right thing. But the Bible has already told us quite here, right here, that we are overcomers. So God has already set the end stage, the finality. That's what God, your end product is victory. Your end status is a victorious one. That's how God has set us. But the enemy wants to come in with deception. And he wants to tell us lies. And he wants to trick us. And he wants to trap us. And do all sorts of different things. And so we have to be aware of the wiles of the enemy. But we have to be focused on the power of God and on the person of Jesus Christ. And carry him with you wherever you're going. That's why you see at your workplace, you see things happening around. Have you ever noticed that I've got issues going on, but at the same time, there's other people that you see around you, whether it's home, work, school, wherever it is. You know, other people around you with issues, with stuff. And I'm telling you that God has placed you there to be a catalyst. And the moment you take your minds off it, if you make it all about you, that's where it stops. But if you say, Lord, you know, I'm in your hands. And Lord, I know you will help me, but help me to help those who need you right now. Because I see that need. And they need you. They may not even know that they need you, Lord, but I see that. And so, Lord, as I take care through your direction of those that need you, you'll take care of me. And that's your faith at work in operation right there. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. I love that scripture. And I quote these scriptures quite a bit. But I love this one. You know, now thanks be to God who always, come on, say always. Leads us in triumph. If God always leads me in triumph, how come I don't always feel like I'm having triumph? You're passing through. You're passing through. And if you make that your focus, that's where you make it. If you make that your focus, you make that your bus stop. That's where you're going to stop. And you're not going to continue the journey to see where God is actually taking you. You're stopping right there in the valley. You're making your home in the valley. When God is actually bringing you through. And God allows certain things in our lives. Please understand me when He allows, and the Bible is clear on this. Right? He allows us to go through certain things so that you will be refined, because now you have to depend upon Him. And now you have to trust His leading even when you don't know what the end product is. You don't know where it's taking you, don't know why you, but God is with you, and you've got to trust that God is with you. And sometimes, most times for me, when I've come through, I said, oh, I didn't understand it while I was going through it. But now that I've come out, I've seen what you've done, Lord. And most times I've seen where it's not just all about me. But sometimes it's about preparation. Going through something because God saw something else that was going to happen in my life. That others, he was going to use me to be instrumental in the life of others. So he allows you to have a little taste of it. He allows that. God allows that. It's His way. See, the easiest thing we can do is to say, Lord, you know, not my will, but your will be done. I don't understand it, but you do, Lord, and I trust you. I trust you, Father, because you said you will not give me more than I can bear, but with that trouble, temptation, trial, crosses, whatever it is, anguish, pain, with that you'll make a way of escape so that I will be able to bear it. So even though I'm going through the valley right now, Lord God, you're going to bring me through. I will not have more than I can bear. So in other words, I've got within me more than sometimes what I might think. I've got the ability in me that I don't even know that I have in me until I'm going through the thing and I've gone through God's way. Then I say, ah, yes, Lord. And I realize it's not just me, it's God with me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I hope you understand that. Again, we've covered this before. We've taught on this before. Sometimes we need reminding. All right, this is the last scripture. I'm done. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that they which run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain. You see, it matters how you live your Christian life. It matters what you do and what you don't do. It matters. So walk in such a way, run in such a way, if I should use Paul's language here. Run in such a way that you may obtain. Obtain what? Victory. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. God's appropriated victory to us, but you've got to do something. There's always a part you have to do. It's a part of obedience. So run in such a way that you will be able to obtain. And part of that running involves prayer and it involves praise. May God help us to be like Paul and Silas, who were men that were determined that they're going to pray and that they're going to praise. They weren't sending up prayers into the atmosphere hoping that something will happen. They were directing it to the God that they knew. Church, if you know the God that you serve, you direct your prayer to Him. You direct your praise to Him, no matter what the circumstances. And believe that God will come and He will shake foundations, He will open doors, and He will loose chains and shackles from your life, because that's the God that we serve. Let's stand on our feet, please.